From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to A Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, June 8th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish Hawa for joining the conversation. On today's show, the 10th annual free How to Run for Local Office workshop is happening soon. We'll get a preview of the Lynn Canal Adventures running camps. The Juno Piano Series has a night of medieval music this Friday. And Juno Ghostlight Theater is having a night at the Tonys celebration this Saturday. Those conversations, bird note, music, and more coming up this hour on A Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ani kak, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Have you ever thought that you wanted to get involved with local government but don't have a clue on how to begin? Well, the League of Women Voters is partnering with the CBJ Clerk's Office, the Library, and the School District, and is offering the 10th annual How to Run for Local Office workshop coming up on Saturday, June 24th. Here to give us the details are Kristen Bartlett from the School District and Luann McVeigh from the League of Women Voters. Welcome to you both to the studio. How are you today?
Great, thanks.
Hi. Doing great.
There we go. Luann, let's start with you. You are with the League of Women Voters. Let's start with what the League is and what the mission is of the League.
Great. The League of Women Voters is really a national organization, and we have strong strong inclination to try and involve as many people as possible in the voting process, in elections, and in increasing participation in our democracy. So we try to educate our citizens and ourselves as much as possible, and this workshop is one aspect of that.
Awesome. And now this is the 10th annual workshop. So how did this workshop get started? How did it come about?
Well, the League of Women Voters actually noticed that we were some years not getting a real large turnout in our municipal elections, and started thinking about ways that we could improve participation in our city government. And so they got together a committee that included the City and Borough of Juno, the Juno School District, the Juno Public Libraries, and the Friends of the Library. And we put together this workshop that has a lot of different parts to it, but mostly it's for people who are potential candidates or who know somebody who they think would be a great candidate or someone who wants to help someone run for office. There are a lot of details that are involved in running for office, but none of them are huge. So, you know, I think it helps people to wrap their heads around how to go about it when they can talk to people who've done it before.
So it sort of demystifies the process.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that the League noticed that there weren't people running for office. Like we were getting the same people running again and again kind of a thing.
Right.
I see. So people don't really know. Like, I don't know how to run for office. I mean, it seems like a good thing to do, to support your community and be involved in that. And then to do that. So, and I know there's a few key city partners here. And Kristen, so what role does each of them play? I know you're with the school district. So how does the school district get involved in this kind of a workshop?
Well, my role at the school district is I work very closely with the school board. And so that's one of the main group of elected officials in our town. And so that's sort of how I got involved, is working closely with them. And so we recruit past and current public officials to come and help talk about what it's like to do the jobs, about campaigning and not just campaigning in general, but campaigning in Juneau, because sometimes that's a little different than other places. Mm-hmm. There's a section on the legal requirements for being a candidate, some advice for preparing to run, and maybe someone's interested, but they don't think they're quite ready. So maybe they might want to get involved in a city board or commission or serve on a site council at a school or just start getting involved in some of the leadership roles in our community. This year, there's also going to be a section on the voting process because in our community, the voting process has changed and we're going to be doing mail-in voting. And so
mail-in and ranked choice, right? Is that happening in these particular local elections or no?
In the municipal elections, I don't think we do ranked choice voting, but certainly at the state level we do. But yeah, the city clerks will talk about the voting process in Juneau and how that's changed and what to expect.
So, and how's the library involved? I'm curious what the library's involvement is.
Well, I think that the library is pretty big on educating the community, and they were a eager partner when we first started and wanted to help get the word out.
I see. Okay.
I think the librarians have been more involved in the past, but when COVID hit, their job at the libraries became so large that they pulled back a little bit, but hopefully they'll be.
I worked with some of them. Some of them got put onto the emergency committee and weren't even able to do their regular library work, right?
They were doing everything.
Yeah. So the elections that are covered in this particular workshop, what are those? What elections are covered in there?
The school board elections are covered, and also the assembly.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the offices that we'll be explaining about.
Okay. Great. That sounds good.
And this year we'll have three assembly members on the ballot and two school board seats on the ballot.
Oh, there's three assembly seats up. Yeah. Okay. And two school board. Is it always parents who seem to run for the school board, like current parents, or did people who have been passed? I guess not past parents, but former kids, they had kids in school. Do other people run in that who are just interested in making sure the schools are doing things that don't necessarily have kids in them?
Yes. And
they don't have kids in, I mean.
Yeah. Also, former educators like to run for office because they know a lot about what is needed in the classroom. And especially if one has retired from the Juneau School District, like myself, you might have some insights, but also a little more free time than the teachers do who are actually in the classroom.
Right. Okay. And one of the big key components of this is that there's no cost to participate in this workshop.
Correct.
Right?
That's right. It's free. And people who participate will also get a toolbox full of information that they can take away. There are lots of forms and lots of information that you might not be able to take notes on
take
all
notes
of it.
On,
so
yeah.
you'll get a toolbox that you can take away and look at later or share with your campaign manager.
And you mentioned this. I want to make sure we cover this again, that this isn't necessarily for those who just want to run for office, but it might be for those who want to help somebody else run for office, like be a campaign manager or just sort of understand the process and be able to help a friend or somebody else that they might be supporting to run.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. And it's also for people who maybe aren't ready yet, but think someday down the road or maybe when they retire, they might want to think about running for office. So you definitely don't have to commit to anything. Anyone can come, but it's specifically for people who, you know, might want to be involved in a campaign.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, past campaign managers and past campaign finance managers who participate. So they're really great about answering questions.
Mm-hmm. And so I know you mentioned a couple of things, but what kind of things am I going to learn in this workshop? If I know zero, like what do I need to, what would be some of the things I might get?
Well, I'll tell you, I have not participated in this workshop before, and I'm really looking forward to this one just because I think I'm going to learn a lot. So I noticed that I'll be finding out a lot about the jobs of assembly members and school board members, the basic things that a person needs to do to get a campaign started. As Kristen mentioned, candidate legal requirements is part of the ball of wax here. And also getting ready to run for office can be quite the process, I think, mentally and in terms of getting all your ducks in a row. Mm. There will be forms available that will need to be filled out. And so every detail will be covered in this workshop between 8:45 and 1:30 p.m. I can't believe it'll all happen at once. Oh, and then, of course, the last thing is what Kristen mentioned about the voting process. We're lucky enough to have Beth McEwen, the CBJ municipal clerk, and she'll be there to tell us all about that. The number of people, important people, who are already involved in our government is just amazing to me. So I'm excited to hear from all these different people.
That's pretty cool.
Including our mayor.
right on. Awesome. One thing that I think is a hindrance to some folks is the idea of money needed to run. Are financials covered in this workshop at all? Like, what does it cost to run for assembly or school board?
Well, it definitely varies, but there is a section on that. And one thing that I've heard many public officials say over the years of participating in this this workshop is that was their main concern going into the campaign, and that was what they're most uncomfortable with, and that it was so much easier than they thought it was going to be. And they just couldn't believe how, once they announced their campaign and went out and started talking to people, that people were interested in supporting them and they were offering to give them a donation or a contribution. And so they were very surprised that wasn't as difficult as they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because it seems like that would be something that would stop someone from thinking of doing it, that they don't think they could afford it. And I also think that it sort of puts a little equity barrier up in terms of who's actually representing us on the assembly. Is it only those people who can afford to run?
Right. That's a good question.
Systemic issue, really, that we're not really here to cover now. But I was curious if it was covered in the workshop. Like, you know, are there sample budgets that you could show people? Like, this is what it's going to cost you, and this is how much you're going to need to raise to really.
People do, you know, share that information. Yeah. And then I have to say, though, that there are some people who have run write-in campaigns on a very short amount of time. They haven't had a huge budget, and they've been successful. And typically, the budget for a mayoral campaign, you know, is typically a little larger. And the budget for, say, a school board member campaign is typically a lot smaller. So there are, they'll go over all of the rules, but if you don't intend to raise like over $5,000, then the reporting requirements are a lot different than when you raise more. So that's part of the decision-making process, is what type of campaign you're going to run and how much you intend to spend. And there are people who can help you figure that out.
Well, you'll learn it all at the workshop, which is going to be great. So just to wrap this up, thank you, Lynn and Kristen, for being here. The workshop will be held on Saturday, June 24th in the CBJ Assembly Chamber. So you get to see what that feels like if you've never been in there. The session runs from 8:45 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Pre-registration is required and recommended. Oh, no, is recommended and required if you want a hard copy of the handouts, because you got to know how many to print. And the best place to do that is to go to junolwv.org/run. That's the website for the Juno League of Women Voters. And the link to register is on that page. So, yes, Lynn.
I do have one more thing to add.
Yeah.
And that is for those who are not able to make the workshop and who want to see a copy of the materials, the toolkit will be available online. So after the workshop is over, go to junolwv.org and you can get the toolkit. It's called the toolkit. And then you can see the handouts, at least that for the things that you have missed.
Awesome. That's great. That's a good thing to provide for people who maybe somebody can't make that.
It won't be recorded, though.
It won't be recorded. All right. Well, good news for being here today. Thank you so much for filling us in on these details on the workshop.
Thanks for having us.
Up next, are you a runner? Want to run your body, mind, and spirit this summer? Well, Lynn Canal Adventures has you covered. We'll get the rundown after this bird note. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Bird Note. The Umatilla Chemical Depot in Oregon, a landscape dotted with 1,000 concrete bunkers, may not look like an ideal haven for birds. It's a place where the military stored nerve gas, now decommissioned. But the site has taken on a new life as a luxury subdivision for burrowing owls. Burrowing owls don't actually burrow themselves, instead moving into lairs abandoned by other creatures, like badgers. In 1969, when the military attempted to reduce the local coyote population, they ended up removing local badgers as well. The local owls suffered a housing crash, and by 2007, there were just 3 or 4 breeding pairs. Because burrowing owls actually enjoy living in dense neighborhoods, David H. Johnson, the founder of the Global Owl Project, began burying 5-gallon buckets on the site as ready-made owl condos. Feathered tenants quickly moved in, and each time Johnson checked the buckets for owl chicks, protective adults would scream like rattlesnakes. As of June 2021, 92 artificial burrows hosted 62 mating pairs and have been the birthplace of over 2,500 chicks. Unlikely as it may seem, this former depot is now a burrowing owl boomtown. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Remmel.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This June and July, Lynn Canal Adventures has running camps for youth and new this summer for adults as well. Here to give us a preview are Tristan Knutson-Lombardo and Mary Ellefson, along with Arnie Ellefson-Carnes, who is a counselor going on his 4th year. Gunnath Cheesh for you all being here today. How are you?
Gunnath Cheesh, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for having us here. We're excited is how we are.
Mary, you're always excited.
No, I'm not. But when the room's this cold, man, I am awake and ready to go.
It wakes you up for sure. And his afternoon lull, you know, we got to keep the temperature low. It's like David Letterman used to keep it at like 60 degrees or something. I actually don't
Let's go 59.
I was going to say you are the David Letterman.
I don't know why they keep it so cold. I don't even want it to be this cold. But I appreciate you all being here. So first, Tristan, tell us a little bit about Lynn Canal Adventures for those who may not be in the know.
Yeah, Mary and I started Lynn Canal Adventures. This is our 13th year. It started off as one high school running camp. We had this vision of offering, there are plenty of running camps in the lower 48 for young people to go to, but they're expensive. They can be inaccessible. And we thought, you know, we have a world-class trail system here. We can create something that is for everybody and that's accessible with a focus on raising the bar for young runners. Not just here in Juneau, but really across Southeast. And it's grown over the years. And now we have 2 week-long high school running camps. We have 2 middle school camps. And then this year, our first ever, our inaugural running camp for adults. When I say adult running camp, it just sounds different. So I'm going to say running camp for adults.
People over 21.
People over 21.
And I noticed on your website it says courage and community through running, which I love that as Lyra. It's a great tagline. So let's talk about this adult camp because I looked at the menu of what you're offering here for this adult camp and I'm just like, whoa. I'm not a runner, obviously, because I was just like so surprised. But
you can start today.
I could start today, but I don't think I'd want to be running 20 to 30 miles over roots, rocks, and rabbit trails while climbing 4,000 to 6,000 feet. What kind of shape do I got to be in to do that?
Well, one thing we are is full of surprises. We might not do any of that. I want to circle back because on Boston, our camps were built around what makes Juno special and what makes running camp special when the spirit is sort of driven by quirkiness in the best way possible, having a good time and getting better at something together. And the courage and community through running is exactly what it is. It's how do we connect, whether we're on adventures, which are challenged by choice or your ability, or we're doing crazy Olympics, or we're doing reflections or workshops or making food together. So to circle back, we will be having adventures, but that shouldn't deter anyone. Whether you're just, you know, entering, we do want you to be running for sure.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
not about how fast you can. Mm. It's about, gosh, would I be able to do this supported and laughing with counselors like Arnie, you know,
next to me
as I do this adventure? Or, hey, today we're going to do this other flatter thing and out and back, depending on what your ability or you're ready for. So we have an intention that's different for every day, but it's also couched by what can we learn about each other and our mind and our body and how to keep ourselves healthy.
Well, that's the thing, because you also have, I mean, soothing silt baths to alleviate ailments such as bug bites and workshops to joggle your brain, body, and spirit. I love all this stuff. Kitchen duty camaraderie.
I mean, it's summer camp. You just are an adult instead.
Right, right, right. So it's a lot of fun. It'll be,
I can see you're thinking about coming.
No. Well,
leading a workshop.
To leave with your white socks 3 shades darker, I think that's really good too, because you never know what the weather will be like, right? I mean, who knows? Because now let's get the dates out. I want to make sure we mention all that. So the adult camp is, it looks like it's 4 days in the middle of July, right?
It's a Thursday through a Sunday. So we thought if folks are local, they only have to take a day or two off work and join us. And it's, I think, after our second high school camp and before our final middle school camp. So, yeah, it's a Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, it's July 13th through the 16th.
Yeah. And just to jump a little bit, what's going to be really special, which is why we hauled Arnie in here today, is that he'll be a counselor at that camp, because the adults will also be in cabins with our amazing 20-something young people that we have leading as counselors. So that's our counselors make camp.
Yeah.
That's the energy.
So Arnie, let's talk about that. I mean, are you intimidated that you might have to, motivate these adults? Or are you ready? I mean, it's your fourth year, right? You've been doing the youth camp. Now you're going to have to deal with these grumpy old adults.
Well, it's kind of funny. One of the sayings that we have is that camp, it's just us. And so I think we all kind of come in here with a similar goal of really just trying to have a fun time. And I think especially if you're maybe an adult and you're kind of doing this of your own volition instead of maybe for some of the high schoolers, middle schoolers, their parents are making them come. But as an adult, you're making the decision to come and to, you know, have some adventures, maybe meet some new people and kind of just have a good time. And so everyone's trying to have a good time. So usually what ends up happening.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure. So Arnie, you and I think Mary said this as well, but like these camps, the adult camp is for anyone really at any experience level, right? You'll be able to make it work. So if you're interested in running, if you've never run before, you're like a seasoned runner, obviously this would be for you. But if there's somebody who's a little intimidated, I mean, y'all seem wacky and fun. So it looks like it would be, I mean, I know Mary, I know she's wacky and fun. But like it makes it like a fun, because you're also going to be in the adult, you're going to be sleeping in group cabins. So you're going to make, like you said, Tristan, it's adult running camp.
It is. And I would say the number one thing is we've kind of, advertised this camp around town. The number one thing we hear from people is, I don't think I can do that when it comes to the running. And I don't know, I'm not a runner. As I talk to them, like as they're running, I mean, they are actively running. And I'm like, well, I think you actually
I think
are
you
a runner.
Did it. Yeah.
And so it's really like Mary said, it is for all abilities, whether you run a 5-minute mile or a 15-minute mile, whether scaling a 3,000 peak sounds fun and easy or hard and arduous, like this camp is for you, because there's going to be everyone on either end of the extreme in between. You'll find your people on those runs. And most of our time, isn't spent running. It's in the kitchen. It's right. playing games. Right. There's workshops. It's just spending time together at a cell service. So
yeah, that's the other thing I mentioned, that where is the camp going to be? Because I love that you said that there's no cell service here. So you're just going to be able to relax, sleep, eat, and play, and run.
We home base out at the Methodist camp, which is out by Eagle Beach. It's a wonderful place in the woods, and you just get to disconnect for 3.5-4 days.
That's something we all need to be doing.
It's a really special space. Yeah. I will just say, what happens at camp, I guess we'll maybe stay at camp, I'm not quite sure. No, what happens at camp is really unique because we're pulled, and I will say what Arnie said, it's just us. We look around, mm-hmm. We definitely have a schedule and a structure, and we are so grateful for so many supporters in this community. That support is not going towards our running camp, mm-hmm. or adult running camp, sorry. That's going to actually help our youth camps. Mm-hmm. But it's this time we get to have to challenge each other, to laugh. And I will say, just because I've been doing this for quite a while, when you're doing it with other people, you don't even know you're running a lot of the time. You know what I mean? You're just out there doing something together and talking and laughing and learning about each other, which is super cool.
So is there a limit on the number of people that can participate?
We do. We have a cap and we're keeping it fairly small this year. So we've said 30 is what we're kind of going to max at. And we do have room left in the adult camp. And as Mary said, there is a fee. Our Lynn Canal Adventures, we're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And so the cool thing about this adult camp, we don't fundraise for it. So not only does your fee go towards having an awesome, fun weekend, it also goes to supporting our other youth programs. We offer all of our youth camps on a sliding fee. So you pay what you can. We just want to make sure that you can get there. And so by joining in this adult camp, you're going to have a great weekend and make our other camps that much more accessible for young people from Juneau and throughout the state.
Right. Okay. So let's make sure we also mention the youth camps. I know there's one coming up pretty soon. June 18th is the first high school camp. And then June 26th is the first camp for middle schoolers. And then there's also two camps in July.
Yes. Right? And all of those camps have a little bit of space left except the final high school camp. So we do... middle school camps, I think, have one or two spaces available still. So if you're you are listening and your young person wants to join, that is a week of fun 6th through 8th graders. Get on our LynnCanalAdventures.org website and register. And then we have a couple left in our first high school running camp.
We had some last minute cancellations this week. And so that was the availability as of last night. I haven't been on my email all day. So the website will tell you how many spaces are open. And we've had registrations trickle in since then. So
yeah, because just for people, if they end up not being able to get in, the registration usually opens in early spring, right? I think this year it opened in March. So it's something that's pretty popular and you got to get in there.
Yep.
And make it happen. But the adult camp is new. This is the inaugural chance to be a part of that. And Arnie, are you going to lead any of these mind and body workshops?
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah, I really have been training a lot, working up for it. Well, I mean, just maybe some, like, we have some general things, especially a lot of the counselors are coming from a collegiate background. And so, like, we can lead a lot of workshops revolving around general strength training and injury prevention and warm-ups before workouts or big activities and kind of work more general things. But we do have other people come in for, like, the more specialized physical therapy or jump roping and Native Youth Olympics, things like that.
That sounds really fun. I mean, it sounds like I think, Mary, you said it's like a special sort of 4 days, I think, for the children or the youth or for the adults, right? Like, I mean, it's 4 days away from the phone, away from all the distractions of the internet and all those things, and just to sort of reconnect with yourself in your body, either by running or even fast walking, whatever that might be, whatever you can do, right? And just to be able to connect with people. And I think that connection is really what's valuable and what's really important.
Yeah, I think the word that comes to mind for me right now is sparks. There's just a lot of sparks. Aside from all that sort of like molten lava that you're talking about, that's sort of moving a little slower, maybe solidifying. But I think about if anyone would want to laugh and have a great time reading the bios of our counselors, honest to gosh, if anyone doesn't read them and doesn't want to come to camp, our counselors are awesome. We've hired 15 through the course of the summer from Juneau, Alaska, and the lower 48. And they come with the quirkiest, funniest, most creative, ways of approaching and being a human being. Like, they're just fun.
That's awesome.
Yep. Ooh.
Well, Mary, Arnie, Tristan, thank you all for being here. Again, go to Lynn Canal. That's L-Y-N-N, canaladventures.org. You can see all the different camps that are available there and get yourself registered today. Thanks all for being here today.
Thanks, Boston.
Thank you. Jeez, yeah.
Up next, the Juno Piano Series continues this Friday night with an evening of medieval music. We'll find out more next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Hey, it's Jen White from 1A. One thing I love about NPR is the stories that make you feel like you're right there.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yonzen and a dozen others sit in front of four lanes of cars and trucks.
Swarms of dragonflies hover over the neat green rows of lettuce.
Join me in supporting this immersive storytelling by donating today. Here's how.
Renew or start your membership at ktoo.org.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clene Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the Tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life, for today and for future generations. We'd like to take a moment and say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gwyneth Cheesh to Vera Starbart, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave us additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Currently in its fourth season, the Juno Piano Series presents quality classical piano concerts featuring both Alaskan artists and outside talent. And this Friday, At the Jack is the next show featuring Paul Krejci, who joins us now, along with John Hayes, who puts all of this wonderfulness together. Welcome. Yeah. How are you both?
Doing good. Well, thank you.
Thanks good. So much for having us.
Of course, pleasure to have you here. So, Paul, will you share a little bit about your background?
All right. Well, I was born in Fairbanks. Yeah. I was raised there, and I learned to play the piano early age, 4 or 5, and I was classically trained. And I worked towards a degree, undergraduate degree and a master's degree in it. And then I kind of went into other sort of field of music, musicology, ethnomusicology. Mm. And I taught at the university for a number of years. And now I'm just working independently and just came up with this program recently. I've always had a love for medieval music. And, you know, most of the time when we hear medieval music, it's vocal music, or sometimes there's an instrumental dance. But as far as keyboard music, it's rather limited. We may hear examples of it on organ. But what I'm going to be doing tomorrow night is performing medieval pieces on the piano, which was an instrument that was created, it was developed 200 years, you know, after these last few pieces that I'm playing for the concert.
Oh, wow.
So it's a modern instrument, the piano, in a way, and especially when we think of the modern piano today, it was really built in the 1850s. So the piano actually kind of serves as a way of taking these sounds from the distant past and making them sound rather novel, you know, new, fresh.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the origin. You're starting there on the origin and history of medieval music. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the time period is sort of 13th century to when it started.
Well, we're going to be covering kind of the end of the Middle Ages. And the earliest original keyboard piece that we have is from 1360. And you know, this was actually on a manuscript, and only reason why it exists, it served as binding material for a book that was, you know, used later on. And that's the only reason why we have that.
Oh, wow.
And it happens to contain some examples of keyboard music. And that's the earliest example that we have.
And what is the style? What is the medieval music? What does that mean exactly? You know, if it wasn't just piano, what would we hear it? How would we hear it?
They had keyboard instruments back in the day. They had organs. They had harpsichords, or the predecessor of a harpsichord, which is a plucked, you know, string instrument. A clavichord, which is kind of example of a, it's like a piano where there's a, it's hammered, but it's actually a, produces a little bit different sound, though. It's a brass, you know, material that is struck. But then you also had other examples, you know, you had different types of organs, like an organetto, which was like a laptop almost type of organ that you would just play on your lap.
And oh, interesting.
With one hand you would use as a bellows and the other one would play the keys. They had a remarkable a diversity of these keyboard instruments. And they even had a kind of predecessor to the piano. It was like a keyboard that operated a hammered dulcimer. You know, it's where you have these hammers that strike strings, which is kind of similar to what a piano, how that produces a sound as well. So they had those type of instruments. But like I said, the modern piano didn't occur until much, much later.
So what gave you the idea to take this music and play it on sort of modern piano?
Well, I just want to, there are some artists who have done this to some degree. There's an artist named Jeremy Dank, who is very well known, who has played a few pieces that were, mainly they were originally vocal works, and he transcribed them then for the piano. And they had just happened to work really well in that sort of way. I wanted to try to do more than that, be more comprehensive about it and actually use original keyboard music, but also, you know, some vocal pieces as well in the manner of Jeremy Dank. And I know I heard those recordings and it struck me and I thought it was just, like I said, it sounds old, but it sounds new.
It's Oh, what an interesting sort of musical style, right? And is it just you on the piano tomorrow night?
Just myself, yeah.
So we'll hear that in its sort of, in a not purest form, but in an interesting way, just hear it that way is kind of intriguing.
I think in a lot of ways, the piano has always been great at subsuming the ideas of other sounds, like since the beginning of its creation. So, yeah.
I didn't realize that the piano was so recent. That's something I didn't know in my musical history knowledge, which is limited. So you're saying that the piano really just came about like a couple hundred years ago?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, about 1700. Yeah.
It took a while for it to be accepted because it was that, I mean, piano is actually short for pianoforte or forte piano, which in Italian means soft and loud. It was an instrument that's very expressive. It could play softly as well as loudly. But still, when it was invented at the time, it was still kind of a soft sounding instrument. And it took a while for it to actually be used more extensively and to be have it combined with orchestra, for example. It took a while. They began to develop it in such a way that it became a louder instrument and was able to cut through the sound of an orchestra.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. I'm just like, wow, that sounds so good. So, John, what exactly is the piano series for those who may not know?
Sure, yeah. So, like you said, it's the getting to the end of the fourth concert season. At first started in fall of 2018. But the original impetus was back in 2016 and early 2017, there was a big fundraising effort to raise money to purchase a new piano for the Jack. There was a kind of old clunky piano that lived there before. It was not pleasant to play on. So we ultimately got like $20,000+. Mary Watson, a pianist in town, scouted out down in Portland to a piano shop and like picked out this piano specifically that we purchased. And
oh, wow.
So then anyway, we got the piano in summer of 2017. And I knew at that time there was not any music group in town dedicated to piano music specifically. You know, there's plenty of groups that incorporate piano, the Juno Symphony or jazz and classics, all that, and they bring in amazing artists. But I wanted to know that this piano would be used in a serious way more than just once or twice a year.
Is it mostly classical piano? It's sort of the predominant. Okay. That's kind of what the I guess the objective is to bring that out. The go-to.
But I don't try to control what people play on the programs.
Right.
Right.
Paul came with like, I have a whole medieval program. I'm like, cool. That sounds amazing. You know, no one has done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might never happen again.
Exactly.
We'll see how it goes tomorrow night, right? Yeah,
it's going to be good.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. And so how do you find the folks that you're going to bring on the piano series? I know you have another one coming at the, and we'll have you back in a few weeks at the end of the month, yeah, I yeah. believe. But how do you find folks?
Well, it's mostly people I know through my own history as a musician. So Paul, for example, I did my master's at UAF and he was the music history professor there.
I see.
That's where I would have first met Paul. Funnily, I've never actually heard Paul play piano before this week.
Oh, that's
I was
funny.
Just going off of like, another person's recommendation from Fairbanks. They're like, you know, Paul's really good. You should have him. So I was like, sure. I think he's trustworthy. So
is it nice to have a former student like give you a gig?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of him. You know,
yeah.
He graduated. He's doing very well, you know,
yeah.
as a pianist and starting this performing series. Yeah. It's really, it's special. You know,
yeah.
you don't have anything else like that. I think. In
yeah.
Parts
and, so. You know, I think it's, you're someone that is steeped in the Alaska music community, more on the Fairbanks side, but it's like, wanting to make sure that there are like these Alaska connections to sort of develop a Alaska identity
yeah,
to piano
sure.
playing. Because I think kind of regardless of where you did your education, if you're from here, grew up here, live here, I think the climate, the land sort of worms its way into
yeah,
the mind
sure.
and shapes the artistry.
Well, it's we're happy to welcome you here, Paul. Welcome to Juno. And so where do we find out information about the tickets and the information about the Juno piano series that we can, you know, where do we follow you so we know
yeah,
what's coming
yeah.
up?
So there's a Facebook page just titled Juno Piano Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of where to get tickets, if you go to the Jack box office site, they're the vendor for the tickets
because okay,
they're
great.
The umbrella for the series.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's this Friday, 7 p.m. at the Jack. General admission, 25. Senior, 20. Student youth, 10. An extra $5 at the door, so get your tickets soon.
Do it before they close the online portion of the ticket sales. Paul and John, thank you so much for telling us about this. It's the Juno Piano Series, A Medieval Night with Paul Krejci. It's tomorrow night, June 9th, Friday at 7 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets are at Hearthside as well as jahc.org. And you can follow the Juno Piano Series on Facebook for more information. And we'll see John back in a couple weeks for, is that the final concert of the season coming
yes,
up?
Yes.
Yeah. And then there'll be another season come fall.
Yeah. Sometime.
Sometime in the future. That's why you got to follow on the Facebook. Thank you both for being here. Thank
yeah,
you so much.
Thank you so much.
Up next, the Broadway Tony Awards are on tap for this Sunday, and a local theater group, Juno Ghostlight Theater, is having a Saturday night show called A Night at the Tonys, and it's Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon. We will hear from them next.
Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found. And when our children tell their story,
you will be found.
They'll tell the story of tonight. They tell you
tomorrow there'll be more of us
telling the story of tonight. The story of tonight.
So good. Hit that note, Kelsey. It's so nice. That's Found/Tonight from Ben Platt and Lin-Manuel Miranda, sort of a mashup of two songs from Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen. And it's a beautiful song that they put out a few years ago. And I thought it was perfect as an intro to this segment because the Night of the Tonys may have some mashups, perhaps. I have no idea. We're going to find out. So you're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno and 91.7 Juno Hawk Bay and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. I'm here with Hedy Laverne and Kelsey Riker. Juno Ghostlight Theater is a community theater that focuses on lifting up local performers, bringing comedy and music to Juno, and encouraging people to try new things. And this Saturday night is a special show called A Night at the Tonys with a cast that is large and wonderful, and it's many of your favorite Juno and Southeast performers. Gwyneth Cheech, welcome to you both for being here today. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is this event that's happening?
A Night at the Tonys, a musical review. It is a cabaret at the Crystal Saloon where we are celebrating musical theater. We are celebrating queer history in musical theater, which is, you know, it's Pride Month. So, and yes. We've been doing some cabarets at the Crystal. There's been two. This will be our third one since October of 22. It's kind of a series that we're starting where we're really highlighting musicals and kind of that loungy music that's just it's just fun to come listen to and enjoy. And it's going to be a really fun night.
The one I missed, which I really I'm sad that I did, was the mix up. Yeah. Which is where, because, you know, as a former actor, 6'4" former actor, there were certain roles that I was never. And when I was in school, I remember I always chose scenes that I knew I was never going to be able to play in the real world. Right. So I did in my Shakespeare class, I did Romeo. You know, I did Othello. I did parts that I knew I was never going to get. And I feel like with musical theater, that happens a lot. There's songs that you love that maybe just you're never going to get cast in that show because of typing or whatever it might be. So I love that Juno Ghostlight Theater mixes it up like that and sort of allows people to kind of do what it is that they love, you know, because that's really what it's about at the end of the day, right?
Exactly.
Before we go further, though, Hedy, I want to make sure that people who may not know what Juno Ghostlight Theater is, what are some of the other shows that you've done recently that maybe people heard about, didn't see, or maybe they did see?
Well, we just wrapped up Puffs in March, and that was a comedy about certain school of magic and magic. And we did it out at Thunder Mountain Auditorium. A lot of people did come out for it, but some people probably didn't, and they missed a very funny show. So that was really fun. That was our first show back since the pandemic.
Okay.
Before that, we did a 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. We've done Next to Normal, Women Playing Hamlet, and Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Those have been our staple shows that we've done.
Next to Normal, I love that
Next
show.
To Normal was amazing.
Love that show.
Yeah. So we've done those. And then we typically will do smaller scale things around town like this cabaret series.
Okay. And so how did this idea for the Night at the Tonys come about? Because the Tony Awards are actually coming up this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be celebrating this the night before. But how'd the idea come about?
One of our board members, Rachel Iafola, she wanted to do another cabaret before she moved. She's going out to grad school. And she was like, we need to do something. And at our last cabaret event, Mixcast, we had a bunch of show tunes playing during intermission. And a lot of us theater kids were really having fun dancing to them. And it was just kind of this very open and vulnerable thing where we were all just being ourselves. And we realized that that's exactly what this town needs, is a night to just be musical nerds together. So we decided to do a showcase of a lot of beautiful musicals, and we're ending it with a cast party, is what we're calling it, dance party with show tunes only we'll be playing, and everybody's welcome to come dance.
And that's so okay. So the cast party, because I remember going to cast parties.
Yeah.
They weren't always about dancing.
No.
So will you be dancing at the Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And are you going to be dancing in the front room, or is this going to be, where is it going to be in the, how are you going to be dancing, just in the front air? Because I'm assuming you're performing in the front room where the stage
yes.
is.
Yeah, okay. We'll be on the stage. And then, yeah, we're kind of just going to clear tables and everyone can just hang out and
nice.
Dance and sing along to musicals.
Kelsey, are you DJing?
Well, no. But did I send a very long list?
You sent the...
of show tunes to Hedy.
Right.
You're and like, said,
maybe some of these.
Please put these on the list. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Give us some of your favorites, Kelsey. What are some of your favorites?
Some of my favorite show tunes?
Yeah. Just like, you know,
oh my
just a couple that pop, because I know you have a long list, but just a couple that pop.
Oh, wow. Could you ask me a harder question? Okay, so my favorite.
Number one song of all time. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the first thing that comes to mind, honestly, for like a dance, a musical theater dance party.
Yeah.
Is the mega mix from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
And like, I don't, and the other one that keeps coming to mind is the title song of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
A jam.
Yeah.
Truly.
Because you can get, and people could probably do some of that choreography exactly. while they're doing it. I'm sure people who've been in those shows know some of the choreography or similar style choreography.
Yeah.
I would want something from like Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. Or, yeah. Throw some like. All that jazz in there.
Yeah.
Shoeless Joe from Damn Yankees. Mm. I don't know why I keep going to like hoedown numbers. Clearly, I want a hoedown, like a musical theater hoedown. Here we go.
Why not? Why not? You know, why not? Okay. So, Kelsey, can you help us? What are you going to be performing?
You'll have to come and find out.
It's all surprise.
I will be.
Okay. Well, then tell us this. Can you tell us some of the people who are be performing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I will be hosting.
Oh, you're hosting. Night. Okay.
I am hosting a night at the Tonys.
Cabaret. Cabaret song,
yes.
Maybe?
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I did tell you my favorite
Welcome.
Musical. So yeah. Maybe that was a hint. Let's see. On this fabulous list, we have Allison Wade. We have Wendy Burns, Jack Schultz, Kate Ross, Eliza Valentine, Jocelyn Miles, Frank Katas, Andrea Budbill, Stephen Ahrens, Margot Lundberg, and Rachel Iafola.
Wow.
We have quite a list.
Let me just say, if you're listening and you're not following Ghost Juno Ghostlight Theater on Instagram, you are missing out, because I think you all have one of the most active Instagrams. And like right now, you can see profiles of like almost, I think, everyone at this point now, since we're getting close to the show. You've been sort of releasing them over the coming days. And you can see everybody. And what I love about it is you talk about like what their first musical experience was. Can I tell you mine?
Yes, please.
There's two. I'll tell you this one. I don't sing very well. And so I was cast in The Princess Once Upon a Mattress.
Love that show.
But who did I play? King Sextimus, who doesn't sing.
Convenient.
That's helpful. It's good casting.
I was like, okay, hint on where my future career might be going. That was pretty fun. But I love that you get to hear a little bit of everybody's story from when they originated. What's yours, Kelsey?
Mine, I did my first musical when I was in, I think third grade.
Mm.
I was a painfully shy child, believe it or not. And I remember being so nervous. I was playing an orphan in Annie, and we were asleep in that first scene where she sings Maybe, and I had my eyes like screwed shut. And then we did our big opening number, It's a Hard Knock Life, and y'all, I heard the applause, and I was like, I can't go back.
That's it.
This
that was
is
the
it.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, those moments are... Yeah, those are good memories for me.
Yeah.
Those kind of moments. Those are really nice. So is this a fundraiser, Hedy?
So to a degree, yes. We always try to have our cabarets go back into our production budgets. And we are raising money right now for our spring musical, which we are announcing at the show on Saturday.
Well, okay, because that was going to be my next question, which was, any hints on what's coming down the road?
I can give you some hints.
Give us a hint.
Okay. Well, it's a musical.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to help anybody else, but it is the musical that got me into musical theater. So...
Oh, so if you know Hedy, you might know the answer.
You might know, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It is a comedy musical as well.
Do you know what it is, Kelsey?
Did I tell you?
I might. Someone may have told me. I don't know if it was Hedy. I don't know. There are rumors floating.
There's rumors floating around about what's going on. So the details of this, where can I get tickets?
Tickets are at the Crystal Saloon website, and you can also get them at the door. And we are also doing something special with the cast party after. So that starts at 9. If you don't want to come and listen to incredible people sing for some silly reason, you can come to just the cast party. It's a $10 cover. But if you come to the whole night,
the ticket covers everything.
I see. Okay. And how much is the ticket for the whole thing?
The ticket. There's a couple different.
Oh, there's different tiers.
Yeah. It's $40 for a VIP seat. Okay. It guarantees you a table and right. you can chill with your friends, have a place to put your drink. The regular price is $20. And then at the door, if you don't plan ahead, it's $25.
Okay, great. So, well, Gwyneth Cheese, for you both being here today, and I can't believe that this is happening. It's going to be really fun. And it's a Juno Ghostlight Theater, a night at the Tony's party and cast party at the Crystal Saloon. It starts at 7 p.m. for the show. And then the cast party, if you just want to come to that or you're working or you can't make it to the show, that starts at 9 p.m. And you can go and hear all this wonderful theater music and geek out a little bit.
Yes. Right? And I do want to say one thing, if
please.
I may.
Yeah.
We are asking people to dress up because we're going to kind of celebrate like we're on the red carpet. So please come in your best. It's going to be a very sparkly night.
Your Tony best.
Yes.
Cool. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a terrific Thursday. On tomorrow's show, live music with Uncharted, symphonic folk from Underground Connection, Jane Andreen, artist highlight, and a preview of Sea Alaska Heritage's Cultural Education Conference happening next week. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO, Juno 104.3, and KAUK, Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have an awesome Juno evening.